You're listening to the Youth Crit Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
I'm going in.
Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I am your host, Cale Smith, and with me today is Andy Comer.
How's it going?
And we have a new guest host on the show this week, Gina Versa.
Hey, how's it going?
Cool. It's going great. So with that said, we're going to be talking about Ghost in the Shell, the movie that everyone has fallen in love with. Right. And it's critically acclaimed, and it's a big box office hit, and it's currently going to beat Star Wars.
Don't even. That was one step too far.
But yeah, so we're talking about Ghost in the Shell. We're going to talk a little bit about the original movie. I've heard it's good. I didn't have time to watch it, unfortunately. I was going to watch it, and then right now, actually, as we're recording it, but it just didn't work out because I'm having to do this like 3 hours earlier than I thought I would. We're talking about that, and then we'll talk about the elephant in the room, which is the controversy of the whitewashing and how it pertains to the movie itself and if it's justified or not. So, but let's go into Ghost in the Shell, the remake or this new version. And we're going to talk about what we thought. Personally, I'll go first since I didn't get to do a React video or a React podcast for it. Overall, and you're all going to be completely shocked by this, but I actually kind of liked it.
Oh my God.
I know. I don't know. I was watching the movie and going, it's not high art or anything, but I was like, this looks really, this Rupert Sanders knows how to photograph action scenes very well, and the world is actually pretty interesting itself, and you know, and the characters are not that badly written. But the cons I have with the movie are ironically Scarlett Johansson's performance. I thought it was too bland for an AI. I know that's odd to point out the blandness of an AI, but it was just way too, there was nothing nuanced about the performance. And then the story's
for Major, like in the anime, like she has a lot more personality, you know, than Scarlett Johansson had. Like I remember the scene where they're at the boat and like Scarlett Johansson, like she doesn't drink the beer, but in the anime, like Major totally like downs the whole thing. So I think you know I don't think Scarlett Johansson really captured the character, but this kind of goes back to just some of her performances, because I personally like her, but you know, sometimes she's a little too bland or kind of miscast, like even kind of like Avengers or like you know, as Black Widow. I think the first couple films she did as Black Widow, she wasn't completely getting it. So yeah, I don't know if she's just a little bit bland here.
Well, it's more for me the direction and the choices she makes. It's like she's being told act like a robot, but
right.
but the character is supposed to be AI. Well, it is, but it's an AI. It's supposed to be a fully formed personality because the story in the movie even tells us it's supposed to be perfection. It's supposed to be human like. So we're supposed to, when we go in, we're supposed to believe that she is human like and everyone else around her. They might know that she's a robot, but they treat her all as a colleague or another person on her team.
Right.
So, but she still acts pretty emotionless, even to pretty hardcore stuff that happens in the movie. She's still very emotionless. So it's more direction and choices that the actor and director made that I don't really think work. But overall my thoughts on the movie are I thought it was just a fine action movie, just a genuinely fine action movie. Looks really good. Like I'm a sucker for movies that look like Blade Runner. So, so I love the visual style and the design of it. But other than that, I thought it could have taken a bit more. I thought it held its punches on a lot of its themes, which we'll get to in a little bit. But okay. Andy, what did you think?
Complete garbage. I didn't. The only thing I liked about this film was her like team, like the
Section 9.
Yeah, Section 9. Like the head guy, like that's like John Wick in like 20, 30 years. And then like her partner wasn't bad, but like they did all the cool stuff throughout this to me because everything else was like shown to us in every trailer. And it just, the future looked cool, I guess, but like it just was a distraction from a weak story to me that wasn't executed well at all. It just is a mess of a movie. I was bored as hell throughout the whole thing. That's all. It's not a good movie. I honestly, going into this, I did, because of the trailers and stuff, I didn't really think that this would make over $15 million. So I'm assuming that the only reason it made almost 20 is because of her star power, but the bad reviews and bad word of mouth just kind of ruined that because it, I don't know. I'm shocked that it made this much money. It's going to be gone out of the theater in like a week or two. It's bad.
It's bombing hard.
Yeah. Well, Gene, what did you think? I know you already said some stuff, but what did you think?
Yeah. So, yeah, saw it, I think it was last Friday, and it was just, you know, I went in just with no expectations because I was just, you know, I knew all the controversy and all the, like, you know, stuff about the film, but I was willing to at least give it a chance. But, you know, just maybe like 30 minutes in, I was just like, just bored, like bored out of my mind. Like, you know, visually I was, you know, impressed, but it was just like, it just felt like nothing interesting was happening. And it was kind of like incoherent at times, I guess.
Completely.
Like just plot wise, you know, I don't know if anyone else felt like that, but like, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just, yeah. And I will reiterate on Scarlett Johansson as Major. Yeah, I really agree that she was, you know, I think, well, obviously miscast, but she was just bland. And I feel like that's kind of her weakness is just sometimes she just comes off like as bland as, like, you know, the first couple times it's like Black Widow and like Avengers, you know? So, yeah.
It's odd because we've seen Scarlett Johansson do really good work and we've seen her do amazing work. And even, you know, with these kind of roles, I mean, she was an alien, emotionless alien in Under the Skin. She had more emotion and more power to her performance.
Yeah. But it's probably because there was a better director there.
Fair enough.
That's real.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I will technically buy it because I think it looks not pretty enough, and it's mindless action that I feel like I wish the movie had. I want to get into the themes because I know a lot of you have problems with the themes of the movie, but for me, I felt like the themes I wish they would have been explored more. I think it would have been much more powerful if they didn't pull punches. And for those, I'm just going to go ahead and issue the spoiler warning. So if you haven't seen the movie, just know that we kind of all had problems with it. And then come back if you've and come back when you've seen it. But my problem with the whole theme of the movie is it didn't go all the way, or it felt like it was holding back on its punches about the whitewashing plot of the movie. I know, Gene, on Facebook, you had a problem with the whitewashing aspect of the movie, but for me, I felt like it needed, if you're going to go for it, explore it all the way, like the way Get Out did with... So I thought it should have went all the way or didn't bother at all. Not just, you know, pull out at the last second. That's mm-hmm. my thing. Go ahead, Gene. Sorry.
The theme. So it's just really, I don't know. It was just really muddled. It felt like it was, you know, it was going to say something and it wasn't going to say something. And yeah, it was just, and yeah, it's sad because it's anime and, you know, the movie, they explore a lot of interesting stuff. And then this movie is just like action, you know, visuals for like an hour and I think it was 30 minutes. So yeah, I was really disappointed that they didn't make a statement near fully, you know. So I agree with you.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a complete cohesive statement on really anything, and it's just another thing that it completely fails at.
Yeah, and I mean, and the thing about Rupert Sanders, now I will, full disclosure, I didn't see Snow White and the Huntsman, but from what I'm reading about Snow White and the Huntsman as well, it seems like Rupert Sanders is having the same problem here than what he also had in Snow White and the Huntsman as well, as where it's all stylistically interesting, but there's not a lot of substance. There's not a lot going on that's keeping you interested in the story and the characters, but it all looks pretty.
Right. Yeah. We need more than that though. Obviously some filmmakers get away with that.
Snyder.
Like Schneider and
Snyder Bay.
Bay, yeah. Blomkamp since or after District 9. It's a really big problem, and Michael Bay and Zack Snyder just thrive on it. I don't know how. I don't know, maybe because like their spectacle is just bigger, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe like because they're using like bigger name properties. That's the only thing I can justify it with. I have no idea though.
Snyder's only really holding on because he got really lucky after Sucker Punch that he already had Man in the Steel on his, you know. He got lucky after Sucker Punch because he was already in development on Man of Steel. And I think if it wasn't for that, he would probably be doing maybe smaller indie stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Because
good
Zack Snyder. Oh, that's another conversation.
It is.
But he is a part of the style, not a lot of substance crowd.
The sad part with Zack Snyder is he thinks it has a lot of substance. I don't know if you've seen interviews where he's like, oh, this, you know, it's talking about this and this. And yeah, Seven Samurai.
He tries to describe what's in his movies. He tries.
Yeah.
He gives valiant efforts.
Yeah. I'll give him that. At least he tries to explain it. Sure.
Yeah, he creates bridges in his mind that aren't on screen.
Right.
And he started off well, just like Michael Bay. Bay and him both started off well, you know, with like The Rock and
Bad Boys.
And Bad Boys. I even enjoy Armageddon. Dawn of the Dead. I enjoy Watchmen, even though it's just basically the page on screen. But like, since that, like, they both took huge nosedives, and it's mind blowing how that happened.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why we liked those guys initially was because they were bringing something fresh and new to the screen. But once we realized they had nothing else more to say, then their quality dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's the thing. You have to keep finding things to say in your style, or it gets bland and boring.
Right. And then you have like Batman stab a man in the heart. You know?
Are we on the podcast with Diego?
Oh, yeah, right. Well, yeah.
I know. Diego brings that up literally every time. He stabs a man in the heart. That is not my Batman.
Not my Batman. Hashtag not my Batman.
I think that rubbed off on me.
Yeah, probably. A lot of things Diego says rubs off on people. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh my God.
Going back to Ghost in the Shell. I had held off purposely to watch the original anime until afterwards because I didn't want to get too hyped because I've heard nothing but amazing things about it.
Yeah.
But I think that I watched the anime too soon after because I just watched it I finished it 20 minutes before we got the message to do this early, and it was better, but it was still kind of bland and boring to me. I think I need to take some time in between just to cleanse my palate of that world to try to dive deeper into it, because yes, it is different, it is better, it's more cohesive, and it does dive into things better, but maybe it's just I'm just not into the story. I don't know, but I thought it was okay. But I'm glad that I ended up seeing it after, because I'm probably would have walked out of the live action and I wouldn't have even been able to talk to you guys about this today, because then I wouldn't have finished the film. But seriously, the first Ghost, or the live action Ghost in the Shell, is just absolutely terrible. I don't understand how you they can think that those are, that films of that level should not be released on a wide market. And I don't know how they get the money to even back it in the first place. It is just terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get a chance to see the anime because I didn't get a chance. But from what I've heard, and I've seen clips of the original, because there's all these YouTube videos now of everyone making comparison, side by side comparison of what's in the trailer and what's in the original movie. So I've seen some clips and I'm really into what the story is, but the thing I can only think of is it's really sad that an 82 minute animated movie that didn't even cost a fraction of what the live action movie cost was more cohesive, way better, had better story, better rounded characters, and than the live action 105 minute movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does anyone have the number for the budget for the movie?
Which one?
The live action.
Box Office Mojo has it at 110 million.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You can kind of see that though too, with the cities and the backdrops and all that stuff. Those effects aren't cheap, and then there's a bunch of phasing and stuff like that. It makes sense to an extent, but also think about how much money she got paid for the role too. So that was probably a big chunk, unless she gets back end stuff, which I can't imagine her trying to take on a property like this. But because that would be, it's a risky property, because a lot of times anime doesn't translate to
live action.
To live action. And anime, while it does have its audience, in America it's not a huge presence. I really think that this movie will probably make its money back when it's released in China and Japan. That's why it also kind of nullifies the fact that you even have Scarlett Johansson as the role, because that's just a cash grab for the Westerners trying to watch the movie. You could have gotten any person that was of Asian descent that would have done better for the film, from our perspective, just so we get a better idea of it, and they probably would have honored the character better, but as well as getting more authenticity for its own people.
Yeah. And, you know, I really don't buy they could have not casted like someone, you know, that's a, you know, that was of Asian descent, like from Pacific Rim. Like they could have definitely casted someone, you know. Mm-hmm. And their whole thing of having it on a, you know, bankable name, like Scarlett Johansson, totally blew up in their face. So it's just like, you know.
Yeah, it's the same problem that the Great Wall had when they tried to do the movie, when they tried to release the movie here. And also, even in its native country, in China, it didn't even do as well as they were hoping. It's the Great Wall still did okay. It still did very well, but they were hoping a lot more would come out of China than what was expected, than what they eventually got. Well, the thing is, here's two ways they could have done this. They could have done what Stardust did, which I know it's a completely different movie, but Stardust had an all-star cast. Like, they had, you know, De Niro, Michelle Pfeiffer, Ricky Gervais. They had a lot of cast.
Did they have Brandon Routh?
No, they had Henry Cavill.
Oh, okay. Right.
Superman. So it gave, like, Matthew Vaughn a little bit more freedom to bring on, who's the Daredevil guy?
Charlie Cox?
Charlie Cox, the main character. So they could have went that route. But then again, it's still hard to wrap my head around this idea that if it's still hard, I can't completely fault a studio for not trying to get a bankable star, because it's kind of the Hollywood studio system fault, because how many bankable actresses do we currently have?
Right.
So in a way, Ghost in the Shell was always going to be kind of a shot in the foot. It was just always going to be how that shot infected that foot, if you understand my allegory.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I can't completely fault them on the decision making, but then again, I would have liked to have seen who was the girl from Pacific Rim again? Rico Regine?
Yeah, I believe that's her name.
Or the girl from or the big action star from The Wolverine, or even the girl, the Asian actress from Cloud Atlas. So I would have liked to have seen those actresses do the role, but then again, it's just like, if anyone's going to sell a movie, Scarlett Johansson or Jennifer Lawrence, they could have even went even further. They could have went Jennifer Lawrence. Imagine that. They could have went that route. I just can't. It's hard for me. But then again, I completely understand the whole idea that, you know, each race wants to see their own. They want to see their own, like, Gene left us for a minute. Andy, you're still with me?
Yep.
Okay. I understand each race wanted to want, you know, their own representation, and it's good. They need to see that in films. They need to see that culture ingrained. And what better way to celebrate that culture through adapting an anime, both manga and also a film and a TV series into the big screen, and hiring an Asian actress, particularly a Japanese actress. So I understand the need to have representation in film. Oh, Gene, are you okay? You okay, Gene?
For a second. Yeah, okay. Sorry.
Good. I was just talking about how it's but on one hand, I understand why the studio needed an actress like her, but it's also important to have representation in film so that culture can see themselves, you know, in that role, especially a young female Japanese women. So you need the female. I feel like either way, it was not going to always work in their favor, but I appreciate that the film, that there was an effort to be made to make the movie, because to be honest, I want after Ghost in the Shell, even though the movie's not coherent, not really that coherent in story, I wanted more movies that were visually like that, that were more visually daring, and that they were willing to, you know, go into crazier routes, go, you know, have that anime aesthetic and feel and look and editing. I wanted that. I wanted to see more of that, the way, the way when you watch the very first X-Men movie and you got this sense of, you know, the compa characters and all that, you know, I would like, if I was my age when I saw X-Men, then I would be like, I want to see more movies like that. So I want to see, so I want to see more movies like Ghost in the Shell, Akira, or adapt something from Studio Ghibli.
Death Note?
Yeah, or Death Note, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's going to be interesting to see how that ends up panning out.
Well, you know, I feel, I agree with you on, you know, you see more movies like this, but like, you know, it's just been really difficult, I guess, for just like Hollywood to like, you know, like translate like an anime faithfully. Like, you know, I totally like want to see more anime movies, but like, what if they just like did it at a smaller scale? So like, you know, if it fails, like Ghost in the Shell, they're not like, oh, you know, just clean the slate and this, you know, this won't work ever. Because like an Akira movie, I don't know if anyone's ever seen one of the best.
I haven't heard of it. Sorry.
Oh, okay, dude. Yeah, you need to see that. It's like amazing.
Okay. But,
you know, just like Ghost in the Shell, it just gives like, you know, Hollywood like executives like bad, you know, incentive to like even try to adapt it. You know.
Well, so, it reinforces their ideas.
Yeah.
What it is. It's reinforcing. Mm-hmm. They made a movie to reinforce the idea that maybe anime films can't work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what if you go back into the X-Men movie history, that's what Tom Rothman really wanted to do with the first X-Men movie, was to continue the reinforcement that that comic book movies could never work. But somehow Brian Singer pulled a miracle out of his ass.
Yeah. I think they told him something like, oh, the Power Rangers movie. I think it was like one of the Power Rangers movies, like it was the second one that did terrible. So, you know, like characters like that just won't do well, which, you know, the logic there just does not translate. But yeah, you know, anime totally needs like an X-Men to come along or something, you know, to just kind of tell people this could work, you know.
And I think the only way this could work is if we get a really good director. And I would even dare say this, but go to the John Wick route. I mean, if you look at John Wick, it's a pretty efficient action movie. And you don't even have to be like futuristic or go, you know, or have like thousands and thousands of visual effect shots. You can do, and you guys might disagree, but you can do a Cowboy Bebop movie.
Oh, yeah.
But just in modern time.
Right.
I mean, I know the futuristic aspect is, you know, very important, but if that's one way to go, to do it for $20 to $30 million, I wouldn't mind just seeing a Cowboy Bebop film on a smaller scale, you know, without
Or like have like a Netflix do it or someone, you know, someone that's just like the money doesn't, I mean, it matters, but they're willing to take more chances than, you know.
They're going to get it in different places, so it ultimately they'll figure out a way to make it work.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, if anyone's going to do anything interesting, it's going to be Netflix nowadays.
Yeah, but don't take the space away from Cowboy Bebop. That's
okay. Yeah. All right. I know I was stretching it a bit, but it's like if it was necessary, if that was the only way it could get made.
Right.
Because, I mean, the characters for me in Cowboy Bebop, and I only have seen a few episodes for my film history 2 class.
I just started watching it as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't watched any of it yet.
Oh, dude, it's on Hulu. So.
Yeah. Okay. It's, and also, what is that anime streaming service?
Crunchyroll, and then there's Funimation. Crunchyroll,
let's. I know we've kind of already been digging into it a little bit, but I want to address the elephant in the room. Yeah. So I will ask this question.
Okay.
Is this movie racist?
I don't I don't think it's racist. I think it's just like it doesn't care. Like it's like it's kind of like the dude that's like, oh, I don't care if I'm not PC enough for you, bro. I'll do whatever. You know, it's just like it just it doesn't really know it's you know kind of offending people. It's just like, you know, just doing whatever it wants. You know, it's insensitive, yeah. I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but basically, it's just them trying to grab more money by using Scarlett Johansson, and then they like kind of strong-armed that into the mm-hmm. story by giving her a shell that would be
white
Americanized. And then giving her a backstory where she finds out that, you know, she was, you know, who she actually was and what she was actually trying to do. Mm-hmm. And then they force her into an American shell, quote unquote. And it's a matter of not caring and worrying about trying to get money out of the US and, you know, European theaters more mm-hmm. than caring about the source material.
So right. not be daring enough is what you know. So not being daring enough is what shot them in the foot.
Yeah,
yeah, they just wanted money and they had no faith in the possibility that being authentic could be a moneymaker in itself.
Yeah,
that's actually those are really good points. I don't think the movie. I think I actually agree with those statements. Actually. I don't think the movie's racist. I think the movie would have been racist if it would have blatantly said that if the corporation were like the good guys,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
if they were made to be like the good guys, like, oh, we saved you from this horrible thing. And then we put you in this different shell that looks like a different race. I think that would have came off more as racist.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie doesn't do that at all, and it really and but that is a but then again it doesn't explore that twist to its full extent the way it needed to be in order to so for the film to be trying to please everyone, I feel like it's not racist, but it still somehow leaves a nasty taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Right. Yeah, and you know, just like story wise, like it was just like just really just weird that they would just of like a different race in a robot body that's not of the same race. Like can someone clarify, did they have the robot bodies ready, like, or you know, or did they the accident?
I don't know. I have no idea.
We didn't get a clear answer of the timeline of when the ghost in the shell is made versus mm-hmm. when the brain was extracted.
Well, the guy that the, you know, the bad guy in this, he is in an Americanized shell as well. So,
right. Cause he's like supposed to be Hispanic as well before the accident. So,
yeah.
Oh, I thought he was also Japanese. I guess not.
Yeah. But I was going to say, like, if it was made after the accident, like, to protect their identities, quote unquote, like, couldn't they have, like, just to save money, like, just slightly change their features? Like change their, like, you know, like, facial features? Like, wouldn't that, like, totally, like, save story-wise, you know? It's just such an odd, like, it's such a weird, odd, like, story point, too. It's like, who thought of this and thought it was going to be a good idea, you know?
Way of trying to justify it in the story than rather having to worry about like explaining it in the press afterwards.
Well, it's not a bad idea. I mean, I hate to bring this up, but Get Out basically did that if you really think about the twist, like
what's
happening in Get Out. But it's you did explore it the way Get Out did. Get Out made something out of it and said something with it. Whereas the movie doesn't really want to take a side.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, like Andy says, it did that. It explored it enough just mm-hmm. so it wouldn't be a problem. Just so they, in their own naivety, they thought it wouldn't be a problem. So I think it's a bit of an ignorance thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I think like in the story, like it doesn't work either because you don't really you don't get any like reaction from her. Like that was like significant. Like remember, like the scene in like RoboCop where he's like, "Where's my family?" You know, that was like, oh, you know, that's a good scene. But then, mm-hmm. you know, just seeing this movie, it's just like just fell flat when she discovers she was someone else. So you know, even story wise, it just sucks, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, yeah. And I mean, they try to brush it off as they could probably brush it off as she's a robot. But then again, they said at the beginning of the movie, she's supposed to be the perfect, you know, companion to humanity, to the perfect, like, not companion, but replicant of humanity. So, yeah. she's supposed to have humanity with her. But when she goes and visit what I think is supposedly her mother, in the middle of the movie, she basically just walks away. It's just like
she's just like, oh yeah, I guess you were my mom, but
I'll come back,
I have to kill more people and fight a giant spider thing and lose my arm, but yeah, I'll be back.
It was bizarre to watch the anime after and see the exact same shots, but like in a different rearranged order a bit.
Yeah, I really was annoyed by that because...
Oh yeah, totally. I totally understand that.
Yeah, because it was just like, they just copied and pasted just like random scenes from that and just like, oh yeah, this looks cool. We'll just take it without any of the context of the scenes, you know?
It's a completely bastardized version of the story. Kale, when you watch it, like, you'll be like, wait, what? Like with the live action in your mind watching that for the first time, you're like, this is a completely different context for the exact same image and it makes no sense.
It's kind of like sorry, bringing it back to Zack Snyder, like BVS, where they just steal all the shots from like Dark Knight Returns and like
panels,
and they have like no context to the original, you know?
Yeah,
yeah.
Or it lacks the emotion that those shots had, those iconic imageries have. I mean, it's I mean, it's going back to the, you know, the Nerd Writer 1 video where a director like Snyder, and I'll even throw Sanders in that same boat. They like to create moments and
that's a good video.
But the problem is there's no connective tissue or reference to help you be guided into those moments. So those moments, they're big in a script or they're supposedly supposed to be
big in a trailer.
But they don't but in retrospect they don't quite work. They don't work together because you don't have the connective tissue to get there.
Yeah, it's the bridges in Zack Snyder's mind.
Right. And if you see, you ever see like, you know, where you like, actually the opposite of that was like where you have a moment play, like, because there's a moment in Civil War down where Captain America and Iron Man are like fighting and Iron Man blasts him. And that moment totally works in context of the scene, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's all built up. Yeah, it's all built up, and you feel the characters. You've been with these characters, so
sucks when directors can't get that, you know.
Yeah, you have to invest in everything, not just one thing. So anyway, what else can we say about the film? Because I forgot I didn't have time to watch the original anime, so I can't. Mm-hmm. Reference anything. Oh, Gene, what did you think of the TV show? I heard you watched the TV show.
I just watched a few episodes of the TV show. You know, probably only watched a few, so I'm just really digging it. It had all, you know, explores the themes well, unlike the movie. You know, it digs a little more into the character, but yeah. Okay. Get back to me when I've seen like 20 episodes or something.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's fine. Andy, did you see any of the show? Because I know the show's slightly popular.
No, all I've watched is the movie.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. So what do we have any more final thoughts on the movie? Because I think we've pretty much talked about this movie that doesn't want to say too much to death. Mm-hmm. So does anyone have any more final thoughts?
No, I'm good. I just want to reiterate, this is one hell of an empty shell. There's like literally nothing to it, and except for like a nice gloss over some action. That's about it.
Yeah.
Gene, do you have any?
man, like, don't go see it. You know, it's just, you know, like the mark, you know, just everything, like visually it's nice, the movie, you know, like the action's, you know, shot well. It's just agree with Andy, like there's nothing there, there's no like soul. I, you know, ironically, there's no soul in the machine.
Exactly.
Here.
Just, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, the irony. What's the ghost in the shell? Like, what part is her? What part of it is a ghost?
What part? Yeah. Well, it's her soul that's the ghost.
Yeah, the lack of ghost.
Yeah.
Very misleading title.
Yeah.
Definitely. But, well, I will recommend it, but just like maybe don't rush out. Maybe get like a really cheap matinee. I got really lucky because the theater I saw it at, it only cost me like $5 to watch the movie.
Oh, really? Oh, really? I saw it for $5 too. And I was like, I kind of felt ripped off still.
Okay.
$5 was a little too much for me.
Yeah. The imagery is beautiful.
Maybe just rent it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just rent it. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the problem I have with telling people to say no is because I want that Akira movie directed by Jordan Peele or whoever. I want it to happen, but
who did you say?
Jordan Peele. Right now, Jordan Peele. He's the one being courted right now to do it.
Okay. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago is the Life director. Now it's Jordan Peele.
Yeah. I haven't seen Life, but I've heard mixed things. So I wouldn't want the Life director, but Jordan Peele would be a crazy choice.
Do not listen to Diego about Life.
Okay. Yeah. I saw his review where it was like crap or something.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Life. It's extremely intense.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I haven't seen it. So, I mean, I'll still see it, but.
Yeah. You don't have to see it in theater by any means. It definitely isn't screaming to be seen there, but definitely check it out sometime.
It's a slasher movie in space, Gene.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
And it's not Venom.
No.
I wish it was. Oh God, I wish it was.
Nah.
That would have been.
I'm glad that it is what it is.
Yeah.
That would have been the coolest thing ever. Like
that was the most insane Reddit theory you ever heard, though, right?
I know, and it would have been really cool, and it would have made sense why Sony rushed it out like they did. So, that's the reason why I have a hard time telling people to say no, because I know if I say no, it means people won't see it, and I want people to see more movies movies based off of anime, just so I can get more movies like this. So it's always tough.
Definitely.
But then again, I agree. Just to rent it would be my thing. It's a it's a C plus in my book.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. Yeah.
It's hard, but I want to. Warner Brothers, just make the Akira movie. I don't care what. I don't care who. I honestly don't care who directs it. Just make it. Just make the movie. Bring the live action thing to cinema. That would be awesome.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Well, I think for anime movies, we'll have to see with Death Note, you know, if someone could fully pull it off.
It's got a good director.
Yeah. Yeah, because Ghost in the Shell is not, you know, the standard you should hold it to. So.
Right.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, so we'll see. Hopefully, Death Note comes out in August, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, that is it for the show this week. But before we go, Gene, where can the good people find you?
Oh,
and
sure.
What have you been doing lately?
You could find me on Twitter, Instagram, as Gene9892, the Waffle Press. So that's also on Twitter and Facebook. And working on a short film with some friends. And I've just started doing some freelance assistant editing for The Asylum, Sharknado.
Congratulations.
Thanks. So, yeah. That's awesome. It almost killed me, but, you know, it was great. But, just been doing that. You could see some short films of mine if you just look up We Own Nothing Films on Facebook. So, yeah, I think that's all the plugs.
Awesome. Take it away, Andy.
You can follow me on Twitter and tweet at me, see my opinion on film, argue your opinion with me. I'm always up for a little Twitter war. You can listen to me here randomly, like every couple weeks. Mostly I'm on Real Film Chatter with Patrick, Mike, and Diego, or whoever shows up each week.
It's a great show, by the way.
Yeah, definitely check it out. And then what's going on with me lately, I've pulled out some of my old writing stuff and working on some revamping some short, a short that I've started a few years back, been talking about making for a couple of years, and I need to get it made.
Get it going. Yeah. You can find me at Movie Kale, and then you can also follow this podcast and the blog at The Youth Critic on Twitter. Yeah. And then you can also find my blog at www.theyouthcritic.weebly.com. And then please check out the KHZ Network Twitter page. This is where we update our podcast links, and I know I keep saying this every week, but I promise we're having more shows coming. They're coming. It's just like the dragons in Game of Thrones. They're coming.
They'll come eventually.
They'll come eventually. But yep, that's it. Thank you all for joining me this week. Thanks, Gene.
Thank you for having me.
Please check out Real. Thanks, Gene and Andy. Thanks. And please check out Real Film Chatter and The Waffle Press. Two really good shows. And we'll be back with you next week for the Fast and the Furious retrospective.
Cool.
Yep. Bye, guys.
This is yours, but if you win, you get her too.
What the hell is that all about?
A business deal that went sour. Plus, I made the mistake of sleeping with his sister.